The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Today's Talking Simpsons is brought to you by BarkBox, and you can go to getbarkbox.com/lasertime to get a free month of doggy delights.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. Welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we blame everything on Tibor. This is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. I am your host, Bob Mackey, the $800 man. Who else is here with me today?
It's me, Henry Gilbert, and Adibu Kazini.
And, of course, Headless Brakeman, Chris Antista.
That's right. And today's episode is Marge Gets a Job, which aired on November 5th, 1992. Chris will tell us what happened on this mythical day in history.
Bob, Jerry Garcia has recovered from his bout with exhaustion and goes back on tour with the Grateful Dead and will surely live on for decades.
Exhaustion in scare quotes, right? That's
in what we're talking quotes, about. Yes. Exhaustion. For years to come, Magic Johnson retires from the NBA to focus on his HIV, and Roseanne tops the ratings with almost double what The Simpsons gets.
I think we've had like five Roseannes in the This Week in Simpsons history.
Oh, dicks. Well,
no,
again,
I'm not complaining. I'm
we
just
had
saying...
to spread the news thin because there were two episodes of The Simpsons this week.
Roseanne was huge. I know this episode got 13 million viewers, so Roseanne must have been hitting like 30
million. And in lighter news, Bill Clinton is elected president, but we discussed that in the last episode.
That happened, right?
And one of the Little Rascals dies.
Was it Mo?
Not the original Alfalfa.
Yeah.
No, that was years ago. I just watched that E! True Hollywood Story. He stabbed for $50.
Man.
Over a lost dog.
It's almost how Doc Brown was killed in Back to the Future 3. But I digress. So this is Marge Gets a Job. And I want to say this is the first episode written entirely, well, at least the first draft, by Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein, who are my favorite Simpsons writers and my favorite Simpsons showrunners, who had run season 6 and 7.
They were very respectful showrunners. They're known for being the first Simpsons fans really hired to be writers.
It is true, and they believe that season 3 is the ultimate season, and they based their own work on that season and what it did. And I feel like this might not be the best episode to express how great they are, but I feel like it has a lot of their... their idiosyncrasies and a lot of their ticks, definitely.
I mean, when you watch their episodes, if you were to just watch their credited written episodes back to back to back, you will see a lot of recurring themes pop up a lot. And in fact,
is it hating old people? Is that one of them?
They love old people. Yes.
Jinx. We're also like Baby Gerald only appears in their episodes at first.
Yeah.
The One-Eyebrow Baby. And also, one of my favorite things with them is that they're very approachable. Oakley and Weinstein on Twitter, like, they'll reply to stuff. They love fans.
They really are, especially Bill Oakley. I will say my one claim to fame, not really. What I really my one achievement in life is getting Bill Oakley to favorite my jokes when I write on Twitter. I'm like, oh my god, this guy that I love so much favorited my joke. I feel so special.
And I would love to have either of them on a podcast.
Yes,
someday.
We know you're listening, you guys. Come on, drop the charade.
They've done other Simpsons podcasts.
I like Mission Hill.
Mission Hill is great.
I like Mission Hill.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that was their one where they tried to make the anti-Simpsons, and as they would find out, that's not popular.
It turns out they made anti-popular.
No, it turns out that's popular when shown to the right people on Adult Swim, where the show eventually did find an audience. By then, it was way too late.
I believe it was one of those animation boom things. Was like, okay, we spent $30 million, and we showed two episodes. Yep. Fuck it. Let's throw the rest away.
Yeah. It's tragic. I mean...
It's no Sammy, though. Again, if anybody has any copies of Sammy, Bob and I are after it.
Still looking for Sammy.
Even on the WB, the Mission Hill's like jokes about masturbating and followed by... gay men kissing each other, and then
the first real consensual gay kiss on TV was on Mission Hill.
That's
that
what
true?
They say on there. I don't know. But then I've heard like Will and Grace said, "Oh, we did it first in their episode." I was like, "I know you weren't first. Like, no offense to Will and Grace.
Yeah,
like, you're a
maybe
fine
it was soap.
Show.
It had to be soap. I think
actually, soap was terrified of making Billy Crystal's character gay. Like he only. I think it turned into a joke. I wonder if it was like a writer joke on that show that. Billy Crystal's character only had sex with women. Like, he would always imply, like, I'm going to date men. And they had sex with, like, four different women on the show. And by the end of the series, he had a bonk on the head and he thought he was an elderly Jewish man and he never got out of it.
Sounds like a Billy Crystal character he wanted to play.
I know everything about soap. I'm going to just tell you
it's
that.
Weird.
Right now.
It is weird.
Talking soap.
The Simpsons.
I also do love
be a
about.
A shorter show. We'd be done by now.
Yeah. About Oakley and Weinstein. I also love on the season six commentaries that season five and six ones that you get a palpable feel that they didn't like that season as workers on it as much. Like, I think they definitely, there's some friction between them and Merkin. Like, Merkin jokes about how, on the deleted scene for Who Shot Mr. Burns, where they rewrote it to make it look like Smithers did it, Dave Merkin said, I think that's the only joke of mine they ever laughed at.
Oh, and wow, I forgot
on
about
the commentary
that.
With them.
Yeah.
And then also on commentaries, in their seasons when Merkin's not there, they won't say it, but they're like, they definitely believe when Homer went in outer space, it broke the show. And
a lot of people do. Matt Groening, I think, even thought so.
They really hated that episode. Even though that episode is awesome.
The episode's awesome. It's great. It broke the show, but like years later. Because it allowed them to do anything.
It was a point of no return, but it was a hell of a toboggan ride. Anyway, we should get on to the
less shame,
episode.
Please, because this once again, my mission is to capture every single Phil Hartman appearance.
Here we go.
And this is so fucking funny.
He's appearing in the slanty shanty.
The Simpsons house, the foundation is slipping. Rightfully, Homer doesn't want to pay the thousands of dollars for a professional to fix it.
I love the opening of Homer drinking dishwasher fluid.
Yes.
What are you going to do?
And then I noticed this on my second viewing of it. In the first 4 minutes, they have two dream sequences where Homer like, well, then I wouldn't have to work, dream.
Yes.
And then he's like, and then I wouldn't have to work, dream. Like, it's kind of repetitive.
But Troy McClure teaching how to fix foundation. Did anybody look up these terms to see if they were real at all?
They're all real. They all come from a Time Life guide to foundation repair. Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein did their homework.
Okay.
And if you
hello, I'm Troy McClure. You might remember me from such instructional videos as Mothballing Your Battleship and Dig Your Own Grave and Save. Now, over the next 6 hours, I'll be taking you through the do's and do not do's of foundation repair. Ready?
Ready.
First, patch the cracks in the slab using a latex patching compound and a patching trowel.
Hand me my patching trowel, boy.
Do you have extruded polyvinyl foam insulation?
No.
Good. Assemble the aluminum J-channel using self-furring screws. Install.
What do I do
after
in case...
After applying brushable coating to the panels...
Wait a minute.
You'll need some corrosion-resistant metal stucco lath.
Wait a minute.
If you can't find metal stucco lath...
Uh-huh.
Use carbon fiber stucco lath.
Oh!
Now barge the lath.
These are all real terms. And for some
barge
reason...
Barge the lath?
So I love that Homer is having a conversation with the tape.
Yes.
He's trying to interrupt, ask questions, but he's also wearing a lucky red hat for some reason. I did not understand why.
I guess it's just his workman hat of like, this will keep the sweat off my face.
He doesn't want to muss his two hairs.
And I also like the way, just the little way that Bart looks at Homer of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like they're both like pitying each other of like, we're in trouble here.
You part the lab.
And Troy McClure in the Dig Your Own Grave and Save. I love him doing the miming of digging.
It's
a very great piece of animation.
This is the only time he's ever informed in any of these infomercials.
Yeah, he's really owning this. I think he had like a knack for foundation repair.
I did love all the jokes about the stuff falling off the house. Like, there's tons of great jokes out of the slanted house. And that...
Like Kent Brockman?
Leaving the vice president in charge. And now, Leaning Tower of Pisa, eat your heart out and move over. This is one story that's not on the level.
Such a hack news.
That is in my brain.
And by the way, the clip does start and the vice president takes over. That's a wonderful joke.
Is there
an
explosion next to the White House or something? Yeah.
I think that's the premise for the new Keith or Sutherland show.
And it's the first...
25.
It feels like the first ha-ha in a long time is in this too, when the Santa Claus falls off the roof. Ha-ha! It felt like a million years since we'd heard a ha-ha.
That is true.
Why it had to be at the expense of Santa Claus.
So we did see a little bit of Mr. Burns during the Halloween episode, but here is when it really kicks in season four. Yeah. I feel like they were trying to be have some self-control, but now it's just like Burns, Burns, Burns. And Citizen Kane Burns is back.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Tonight, we've all come to honor a close friend of ours.
Boring.
A man who provided the Burns Corporation with 45 years of faithful service, Mr. Jack Barley.
Boring.
So, like, is Homer really pushing the idea that Burns never recognized him? He's doing this to his boss's face.
Yeah.
I guess.
And that all felt very added in afterwards. Of, like, we need to remind people first that Homer is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At this thing. And we're
at a retirement party for some fell at the plant.
Well, especially the way they, like, cycle the boring animation. It felt a bit post-production-y.
Like the Halloween episode, I noticed a lot of the ADR lines in this episode.
Not as much as the
oh, not nearly,
Halloween
but
special.
Someone's really stand out for me, for sure.
And they really...
one of many Citizen Kane references. Oh,
there is a man.
There is a man.
A certain man. A man whose grace and handsome face are known across the land. You know his name.
You know his name.
It's Mr. Burns.
It's Mr. Burns.
He loves a smoke, enjoys a joke. Why, he's worth 10 times what he earns.
He's Mr. Burns.
I'm Mr. Burns.
He's Monty Burns.
I'm Mr. Burns.
To friends he's known as Monty, but to you it's Mr.
Burns!
You mind if I say a few words? Oh, me, I need all the attention just because it's my party, eh?
So, yeah, I mean, as a kid, I had some idea of what Citizen Kane was, and I kind of had a vague notion, like, oh, they're referencing this. But with this scene, I had no idea it was from Citizen Kane until I saw the movie for the first time in a film class when I was 18. And when this scene came out, I was like,
your jaw drops.
Yeah.
I mean, I said that to our friend Brett, too, when he saw Citizen Kane.
You're
going to
get, like, 16 Simpsons references you never got before.
Yeah, that's kind of why you got to watch it twice the first time if you're a mega Simpsons fan, because you'll just be focused on, oh, that's that scene. That scene.
And I had a revelation watching that film again this year, because I did watch it in film class. It was homework, and then now it's become something I revisit twice a year, and I think, to me, that movie is a comedy, a really subtle, good comedy.
It's a very dark comedy,
dark comedy, because, I don't know, it came from a cab driver, like, what kind of movie is Citizen Kane? And I'm like, I don't know. If you read the history books, every kind. It is every kind of movie.
And this is the most involved Citizen Kane reference to this point. But by the next season, they will top it at the start. Like the Burns' bear, the Bobo scene is perfect. And
even though they're rewriting that, and his mother is Amy Schumer.
Boom. Oh, I don't like that.
They get the camera angle so right. Yep. My favorite one is when he's like 10 times what he earns. Yeah. Like it's behind his back with his arm moving across. It's perfect.
The animation is a little off model, but that makes it even better because it's so fluid. And the scene of Burns laughing with the women, I made that into an animated GIF recently, and it cycles perfectly. It's so great and expressive.
And you can really hear Nancy among the singing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like, I definitely
Nancy
heard
Cartwright
her voice.
Really comes through. And
the restaurant they're in is a derailed tree.
Yes, the Spruce Caboose.
The Spruce Caboose.
In reference to the Spruce Goose, the mega plane built by Howard Hughes.
Burns will be referenced later when Burns is Howard Hughes,
Which I didn't even know it was anything other than the Spruce Goose until I saw the film Aviator. And he's like, the Colossus! That movie is underrated, Scorsese.
There was a reference to the Spruce Goose in Tailspin before this, so that's why I knew about it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But
I think it did fly in that episode.
I love the design of the headless brake man, because it is, they didn't draw a headless person. They drew a person wearing a costume.
Right this way.
Over their head. happened. By the way, doesn't $8,500 to fix that their slanted house seem like a really like a bargain?
Like a bargain.
Yes. And I feel
even
like
in 92 money.
Reading about being a homeowner, which I am not and don't think I'll ever will be, and kind of am leaning towards never being one.
I'm there.
My parents have mildew under the house that they built in 1988, and it's like five-figure. Like, you could have rented something for years for the cost to fix this one thing on this thing you're saddled to and own.
You can't take it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like repairing something as essential as a foundation for a building is not something you should ever do yourself. How is that even possible for a person to just go in there and like patch it up?
How could Surly Joe even fix that to the way it's tilted? Like, that's a team of like eight men.
You need like hardcore machinery and, like Henry said, a team of people to do it.
And like
men. I said men. Only men.
I'm referencing my own memory. Like, and it Chris, worked. That's why your clubhouse didn't work. We like built a little hole that a floor could sit in, and it just like the more you walk on it, the more you push down the dirt until eventually this thing that was like sort of underground is wobbling.
Yeah,
and I learned that's how I learned about foundations. Anyway,
I love the "please don't make me retire" speech too. It's a great sad.
I'm not finished. Oh yes, you are. Yeah. So Jack Marley retires from the plant, which makes there be an opening.
There's
apparently,
an opening.
Yeah.
Maybe I should apply for that job.
Forget it, Marge. We already live together. We shouldn't work together. As the Bible says, thou shalt not horn in on thy husband's racket.
Where does the Bible say racket?
Yeah. I miss that runner of Homer making up Bible quotes. They did that. There were several
it's
of those.
The only book he knows to reference.
Not let moochers into thine hut. And then Bart just falls out the window, and they have to like show him standing up, like, oh, he's fine. It's fine.
There's great foley of like, just things like sliding across the room, especially in this conversation. I don't blame you if you didn't grab it, but like Marge and Homer having a conversation, but something is like sliding across the room and breaking like a vase or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And this episode had two things that like super dated it for me. Like, first, when Homer pulls out the yellow pages to look up the foundation of repair, and then the start of Act Two is Marge in a typewriter.
Yes, it is. I love Lisa padding a resume, though.
Chauffeur, seamstress, curator of large mammals.
Marge, have you seen my lunchbox?
Oh, I see.
Mom, I expect you to lie a little.
Worked for the Carter administration.
Well, you voted for him twice.
Lisa, shh. Someone might be listening.
One of the many Simpsons anti-Jimmy Carter.
This is the first of the anti-Jimmy Carter.
It's not Marge forever, but apparently Al Jean really dislikes Jimmy Carter. I don't know why.
So somebody there does.
Yeah.
It was Al Jean is the big one on it, and it's a funny thing on the Malaise Forever episode. Marge goes to prison. In that one, Al Jean is like, I hated the man, I was hating the man. And then Matt Groening's like, wait, no, I love Jimmy Carter.
It is, if you were born in the last 30 years, it is impossible to hate Jimmy Carter.
He seems like a real class act, especially those commentaries were recorded during the George W. Bush era.
Yeah. Every year he looks dead, Jimmy Carter. And he looks dead while building a house and curing malaria.
He has cancer. But he's been... He's the perfect ex-president. He is one of those things like, why do we hate him?
Watch the documentary. Is it A Man from the Plains? It's a good documentary about Jimmy Carter.
I haven't seen it.
I mean, it's implied that he was just seen as like he was a wuss. Like,
he's technically the best president we've ever had.
If man wore a bleeding sweater, heart as Hank Hill said.
He wore a sweater. He talked about lust in his heart. They're really negative to Jimmy Carter. So until this viewing, I didn't really get the joke. As my assumption as a kid was implying that Marge is saying, don't say that out loud, saying that she cheated and voted twice in the same election for Jimmy Carter. Now I obviously get the joke as anybody who voted for Jimmy Carter in 1980 should feel shame. And that was the feeling then.
It's like saying you voted for Nader in 2000 like I did.
I never hear anybody talk about that. But shouldn't anybody who got Reagan elected be ashamed at this point? Anyway, not enough of that stuff.
Wait, we missed one thing. I felt that when they were looking up Surly Joe in the Yellow Pages, there were no other jokes on the page. There were no jokes at all. Like when they looked up the Obedient School for Santa's Little Helper, there were jokes on the page. I felt like that was a missed opportunity. But
It was a little lazy. And yeah, and then Marge gets
the great, the great punctuation on the resume joke. It cuts right to Smithers reading it.
Huh? Well, I thought Muddy Waters wrote that song. This resume is very impressive. Let me be the first to say Kadibu Kazini.
What?
Welcome aboard. I guess my Swahili's not as good as yours.
Yeah.
This was before the internet people. You could just lie on a resume, and unless they called somebody, they were like, I guess that's true.
I think you still can lie.
Yeah, you can. It's very easy, actually. But you can...
I've ever lied on a resume.
You know, I recently got, you know, I got a new job a few months ago, and this just reminds me of the interview process for that was a weeks-long thing, multiple interviews, and this was just like, I showed you my resume, cool, you're hired, boom. Like, it's that easy here, and it is for plot contrivances purposes, and they kind of drop it, but Marge, she talks about how lazy Homer is, and Homer is super lazy, but... Marge is no business doing this job. Like,
yes.
And she is endangering people even more than... to the extent Homer endangers people in the same universe.
It's good we actually don't see her doing much at this job because she knows nothing about this field. I think this is the one time Homer has an advantage over her, especially when he's talking about the tube.
And Tibor?
Now, Marge, just remember, if something goes wrong at the plant, blame the guy who can't speak English. Tibor... How many times have you saved my butt?
So who is our favorite SNPP immigrant? Tibor or Zootroy? Or Stewart, the duck.
Stewart is the best. Back to work, Stewart.
I like Zootroy working for that penny.
We actually see Zootroy. We never see Tibor.
Tibor is just talked about.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Hi, Talking Simpsons listeners. This is your buddy Chris telling you that this episode is brought to you by BarkBox. You know what BarkBox is? If you don't know what BarkBox is, it is committed to making your pooches happy. And they work with local and independent businesses to do this. For you humans out there, BarkBox is a delivery of 4 to 6 natural treats, super fun toys, and they're all curated around a surprise theme each month. BarkBox ships to U.S. and Canada, and the boxes start for as low as $20. We all love our pets, and sometimes we forget to show them love. Now imagine if the gift of 1 million belly scratches could show up at your door with minimal hassle every month. BarkBox contains chews, treats, vitamins, toys, and just in case your dog has any allergies, let them know. They can build you a box that caters to your dog, and every BarkBox is wheat, corn, and soy-free. And just so you know, you can exchange items if your pooch doesn't like it. Have I said the word pooch too much? Maybe. So if you'd like to know the glory of seeing a dog's tail wag on a regular basis, maybe BarkBox is for you. And once again, Talking Simpsons listeners can go to getbarkbox.com/lasertime and get a free month.
Are you already tired of 2016? Jump into the past with 302010, our weekly pop culture time machine podcast. Here's something you may remember from 1986.
My Pet Monster was a toy phenomenon that had no backstory.
Yeah.
He eventually got a cartoon show where it stars a monster and his monster friends.
Yeah.
This movie's about a little kid who's transformed into that My Pet Monster, the popular toy from American Greetings.
My Pet Monster was a roughly child-sized doll was full of stuffing and had like a cuddly body and arms, but his face was hard plastic.
You could break a tooth on his teeth.
It was not messing around.
On his big old dick nose.
The cartoon is him as a monster being a monster.
Very bestest friend.
And then this movie is, what if a little boy became a monster?
It's not the direction I expect them to go. I expect them to, like, he finds a monster and the monster's his best friend.
What is this? Actually, that's my pet monster. It's grotesque, isn't it?
It's disgusting.
I just wanted to hear tell it's 1986 because the music is from 1956.
Well, he's my pet.
He's my monster pet.
My monster pet.
This movie stars...
a wacky pet.
I do have the commercial here for the toy.
My Pet Monster.
He's bigger than big.
When he fights battles, he always wins.
And he's your friend, too.
He breaks his chains.
Put him on you and break away, too.
With My Pet Monster, you're busting loose. And scary.
And helps people, too.
And he's your friend, too.
My Pet Monster plays all day.
Tough.
Awesome.
Looking great.
What a transcribe that commercial and just make that my resume. Like, I help people, and I scare people, and I break about all my handcuffs.
And I got PowerPoint, too.
Be careful, somebody could accidentally hire Gamera.
That's 302010, a weekly look at what happened in pop culture 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago, every Thursday right here on the LaserTime Network.
at the dinner table, when they're talking about Marge getting the job there and how she's, you know, boring Jehovah's Witnesses, which I had never met a Jehovah's Witness to that point as a kid. Nah, soon enough I'd be annoyed by him. But and then they have what has to be the most Family Guy joke in the whole series of just like the Curies. Huh. And then it's just a Godzilla riff on the
That
Curies.
Was so fucking funny. Yes.
It's great.
It is very Family Guy,
but
though.
It is so Family Guy. It's like nothing. It's just like, what a weird time filler. I'm like, oh, you said the Curies.
It is an inspired joke. It's like the Curies famous scientist meets Godzilla in like a 60s monster movie.
Though Bart has probably never seen a picture of the Curies, and yet he imagines them exactly as how they looked.
I think someone should get fired for that blunder.
But you claim Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein.
I bet they wrote every word of this, Chris.
Well, that they love old people.
They love old people.
On both sides of the coin, it's a bunch of old jokes at Burns' expense. And while Marge is at work, Grandpa is babysitting Maggie and, to a lesser extent, taking care of Bart.
Right.
And it's all old jokes.
Whoa, you must be sick. Let's see. What's all Doc Washburn prescribe? Do you have dropsy? The grip? Scrofula? The vapors? Jungle rot? Dandy fever? Poor man's gout? Housemaid's knee, climatic bubo, the staggers, dum-dum fever.
I looked up all these until I got tired.
Climatic bubo, yeah.
And, like, scrofula's real? Jesus, okay.
Scrofula, that's right. Count scrofula.
Swollen glands, a form of tuberculosis. Scrofula is a real thing that I guess we just haven't seen as a society in years.
Yeah, I mean, this really underlines how much they love old people because, I mean, they wrote this. They wrote Lady Bouvier's Lover. They wrote Grandpa versus Sexual Inadequacy. And all of their guest stars from season 7 and 8 were old people.
Really?
Most of them.
Lawrence Jack Tierney, Lemon. Kirk Douglas.
Kirk Douglas, mm-hmm. Jack Lemmon.
Mm-hmm. Every old man. And, here's another credit to Oakley and Weinstein. They didn't have the internet for this. They had a book. They got a book full of those things.
Yeah, I Googled Captain Washburns or whatever. I didn't find anything, but I have to imagine that's a reference to something very specific.
Some sort of old-timey almanac, I'm guessing, yeah.
I was hoping it'd be like one of those just snake oil salesmen, like from Peach Dragon. Didn't make it into the remake.
So we have a Bart...
I completely forgot this.
Yeah. It went way over my head. Bart gets something up his butt.
Good news, boy! I found a pharmacy that carries leeches. Well, it wasn't exactly a pharmacy. More of a bait shop.
Look, Grandpa, I'm fine. I really don't need any more home remedies.
Oral thermometer, my eye. Think warm thoughts, boy, because this is mighty cold.
Didn't even give him time to bend over. I think he just
attacked
his legs
him
up.
With it.
As a kid, I don't think
I never got that.
I maybe had one rectal thermometer.
I was
ever.
Just gonna add. You had one. I never had any.
I had a doctor's, like not at a. This this was before the thing they just put in your ear.
Do you remember
there,
why?
Huh?
Do you remember why?
Well, why I had it in my butt?
Yeah, was it just something this doctor specialized in?
No, I think it was something was wrong. It was related to I had strep throat and
dropsy.
They couldn't get it in my mouth. There was something preventing it from doing it in my mouth. So like fine up your butt and
I assume as a baby it happened to me, but I have no memories of this.
Yeah, I would think
I remember
it's for
a lot
people
of
people who can't close their mouth.
I have a lot of buried memories of things going in my butt, but no thermometers, none. Mm-hmm.
Lots of suppositories.
I mean, now that joke
that looked like uncles.
I feel like they couldn't even get away with that joke now. I'm just like, oh, and then Grandpa shoved something up Bart's butt.
The concept of a rectal thermometer was so foreign to me. I didn't even know what it was.
Well, I totally get the idea of like it is in no way sexual to Grandpa. No. He's just like, this is the right way to do
Actually,
it.
My mom
do it.
My mom would threaten me because I hated taking pills because they tasted bad. That if I didn't take Tylenol when I had a cold, she would, I'll put them up your butt if you're not going to take them. And now I'm gay.
Well, threatening your children with unwanted anal insertions. Yeah.
I think the only people into anal thermometers now are just for kink play.
Like, so if we cut back to Burns, this is the first time I remember very clearly getting a movie reference because you can't not. But I think, did they do this more than once?
Yeah, they did it a couple
Jack
times.
Jack and apes. Lollygaggers. Noodleheads. Enchantress. That woman, she's so captivating. Smithers, my heart's pounding like a jackhammer. I must have her. Smithers, zoom in. Closer. Closer. Closer, damn it.
Ow.
Too close.
That's Byrne seeing March for the first time, falling in love. But they gave him the Imperial March more than once, I want to say.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. I'm sure we'll discover it later in this
but
podcast.
But that's clearly the Imperial March as done by the Simpsons House Orchestra or whatever. Mm. That's not the original
song.
It's
not a needle drop or it's not a sample of it. They've recorded it.
And in hindsight, it's very on the nose, but this was me losing my mind when this came out. Like, I know that. I actually know that song. Didn't get the Citizen Kane Mr. Byrne show.
No.
The Star Wars one.
Also, zooming a camera doesn't work like that.
No, they admit the joke doesn't work on the commentary.
And also, I love Burns' black heart. His heart literally black. It is so great. When he's beating like a jackhammer.
So
one thing I was disappointed in right before that was the tubes joke.
The tube will know what to do.
Funny, but when they do the cutaways of the tube going through, I was like, these should be funnier visual gags. Like
the payoff isn't really worth it, I think.
If you've seen Brazil, they have way better tube jokes.
Yeah. Like, again, I love this episode, and I love Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein, but I feel like the Burns falling in love with Marge thing happens too late and doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
And this episode is about Marge getting a job. It's not about... I mean, it's named Marge Gets a Job. Yeah. I feel this comes in way too late. It tackles sexual harassment in a very clumsy way. There'd be an entire episode about that kind of concept and idea. But it happens in a very clumsy way. I'm not blaming them, but it feels like...
Well, it was their first script. They even say how this should be called Bill and Josh Get a Job.
Yeah. that's the most important thing that happened in this episode.
And it also wasn't their pitch. It was Conan O'Brien's pitch.
Mm. That's right. And
all the old people stuff strikes me as Conan for some reason.
I mean, I think a thing that unites the writers of early Simpsons is they all like mocking the elderly in some way. But also, the third act, I believe, originally was supposed to be something about Homer being the plant mascot, Mr. Adam,
yeah.
And then in the rewrite, they turned it into Burns falling in love. And it could be them just break glass for Burns for emergency. We're like, this Mr. Adam thing doesn't work as much. Let's get more Burns in here.
Even if the audience hates it, we love it, basically.
And
hello,
Mr. Burns.
Oh, no need for alarm. I just came to give you the orchids and fragrant bath oils I lavish upon all my employees.
Oh, aren't you nice? Gee, this makes me wonder why morale here is so low.
I just the woman drinking in the moose hat is my spirit animal. Like that hat gag with the Tom Jones song is so funny and dark.
Mine is the guy going, "I am the angel of death." Which I don't
think
you could...
the crying guy then.
But that woman has, like, despair resting face.
Yes.
Like, in the middle of the day in the office.
Which
it's
is
so
like,
great.
She's out of tears. She's just, like, and just staring off into nothing, but still being able to perfectly pour a shot over and over.
That's her, like, gaping mouth.
I don't have a line of the show, but that gag is my favorite.
This joke feels a little edgy, the guy running off with his shotgun. I feel like there have been, like, there's, like, a new spree killing every day in America. This was a different era where it was like, oh, that one guy at the post office.
Postman.
Yeah, exactly.
There have been a couple people who have shot up there.
Somebody helped explain the postman going crazy thing. Patrons is it works for the mail, and he's just like because people don't use the mail frequently enough. Mm-hmm. Every time they come in, every price and activity is a giant surprise, and they feel like they're being overburdened for something they've never done, and they always take it out on the employees.
I think it was actually like a process, an automation process that was implanted into the post office system that made people kill each other.
Yeah,
because it's like, we will turn you into robots. All you do is stare at numbers all day. Like, there is no other action you do.
Bob and I go to the same post office.
Ugh, I try not to.
One of the worst.
How do you even know that?
Going there.
You guys both eBay dynamos?
Well, and I go there like recently.
Only when I'm forced to.
This t-shirt I got was actually waiting there for me because they didn't deliver it. They're like, here's your pink slip, go there. And so I go there, and, like, the employees there really suck, but even then, I just, like, I bite my tongue. I'm like, they probably have it horrible.
Yeah.
And they're in, like, the middle of where every homeless dude hangs out in downtown Berkeley.
Yes.
And they all probably walk in and have yelled at them and pissed on them. Like, I'm sure they've gone through so much. Like, I'm like, fine.
Everybody who goes to the post office wishes they wasn't there. They think everything costs too much and is too complicated, and they don't realize you're sending a parcel across the country. It requires dozens of people and vehicles and, like, $350? Yeah. This is highway robbery.
You're
Show me your manager. And everybody's so angry there.
You're so right about that. Like, every time I'm in line at the post office, I see people, like, openly sighing, like, why don't they open another window? Oh, I can't believe I'm here. Yeah. It's like, this
I
is almost
magic. I could do this
better.
Like, I have no...
Yeah.
Yeah, think about how the post office works. Like, I would never pitch a business like that.
Yeah.
That seems crazy.
I think it was Louis C.K. who had that joke about everyone in line at the post office feels like they're on the same team of hating the person who's at the window, like, you're taking too long. But then when you're at the window, you're like, no, they've all turned on me. Like,
yeah, I felt that way when I used to sell a lot of things on eBay, like have a giant handful of like 30 packages. Like, now it's my turn.
I mean, that's how I felt just using the automated machine when I've sold stuff on eBay. Like, that, I just look back behind me and I think, well, there's three of you guys, but I don't care. I got 12 things to ship. I ain't waiting for you.
Well, Marge eventually gets promoted.
Oh. Mommy, what's wrong?
I'm used to seeing people promoted ahead of me. Friends, co-workers, Tibor. I never thought it'd be my own wife.
Well, maybe you'd get promoted if you worked a little harder.
Are you kidding? I work like a Japanese beaver.
Oh, really? I came to see you three times today. Twice you were sleeping, and once you were kicking that ball of electrical tape around.
Well, I won't sleep in the same bed with a woman who thinks I'm lazy. I'm gonna go right downstairs, unfold the couch, unroll the sleeping bag. Good night.
So the joke about the losing the donuts, like the donut battle, was really
that's
beautiful.
One of my favorite Simpsons. Song fragments?
Da-da-da-da.
Oh yeah,
and just
swinging a
Lenny
chain.
Being
I think
killed. Yeah. Like Lenny gets hit with a chain and just smashed through the. Like, anybody else want
to
be here?
I meant to look this up because this is more famous to me from the 138th episode spectacular of whether or not Smithers is gay. But this has to be a reference to something specific, right?
I dreamed about her again last night, Smithers. You know that dream where you're in bed and they fly in through the window?
I love his groan there. It's so
well, apparently,
fucking sensual.
Just like the priest in The Little Mermaid, people thought that Smithers' knee was his boner.
Really?
And censors wanted it to be cut out of the episode completely, but I guess they argued for it. Well, I mean, you've seen that Little Mermaid thing, right? It's like, that's his dick. It's like, no, it's his knee.
It's his knee. It's very clearly his knee if you look very closely, which you couldn't do on VHS with a CRT television.
No.
But if you, I mean, if you want to see a dick places, like I agree that
watch the Simpsons movie.
I agree that the Lion King's thing definitely says sex.
It
like
doesn't.
That,
it says SFX.
Yes. Right, it's a reference to the effects house.
It says good children take off their clothes.
No, that one is so fake. Like,
it's a good tiger take off. I've ruined many a party from people quoting that meme. No, that's not true.
I was absolutely that Disney person fanboy. Too. I was so happy when Snopes began. And,
oh, I love it.
And they just had the clip. I was like, see, look, there it is on fucking Snopes.
Here's the script. Like he doesn't say that.
It doesn't say
but
it.
But Daddy Longlegs is the most poisonous spider. They just can't bite us.
But anyway, I also, speaking of gay jokes with Smithers, do you think him being assigned to the bathrooms was a gay joke of just like
he
the idea
was
of, like,
surprisingly happy
that
for the
gay
emotion.
Men love to that feels like a very like 70s gay joke of like gay men love hanging out
in gay
bathrooms.
Men love men, so they'd love to hang out with piss and
I didn't see it as
and
a gay joke. I just saw it Smithers making the best of a bad situation.
Yeah. There's that too in kind of like a perky gay way.
I can see both reads but how about Burns want a party?
You to arrange a party for two at my estate. Marge, me, and do you think you could dig up Al Jolson?
Do you remember we did that once before?
Oh, that's right. He's dead. And rather pungent. The rest of that night is something I'd like to forget. All right, then, bring me that crooner she likes so much, Tom Jones.
Tom Jones.
Yeah. I love that Al Jolson joke.
I love
so
it,
much.
But it has that recycled animation problem. It's so awkward looking.
But it's also like three jokes about the same thing.
Yeah.
It implies a time where Burns told him, get me Al Jolson, and he dug up a body and gave it to
There's
him.
There's like a rotting skeleton.
Yes, it's so... I love that.
I feel like it's just not the right escalation to that joke. And I love a good Al Jolson joke.
Yeah.
Because I'm surprised I get those references. Thank you, Looney Tunes.
Only because of this and Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
And Smithers captures Tom Jones in the same way he captures one of the baseball players with the suitcase full of gas.
Suitcase full of gas.
Well,
I'm speculating Smithers is immune to.
Yeah.
Because he wears no gas
He
mask.
Built up a resistance to it, probably.
He's done it so much. That's kind of a prisoner reference, in the prisoner that gas people quite a lot.
Was it Steve Sachs? Not Steve Sachs. Whoever was hunting was
he didn't gas any of those guys.
I thought he gassed somebody with a briefcase. I'm sorry.
No, he had a briefcase that he offered money.
Oh, the briefcase played into it, right? I'm sorry.
And there's another briefcase joke later in the episode.
But. I'm confusing all the briefcases. I'm sorry, everybody.
In hindsight, I had a line of the show, I just didn't get it.
Mm.
But it's from this sequence that is, I don't know, it's the B story that Bart is faking sick and Grandpa is taking care of him, so Bart can go to the test, but he learns that faking sick and being with Grandpa is worse than being in school.
Oh,
but
my ovaries.
The crusty
Love
show
it.
Sequence.
Great animation.
So good!
Yeah.
And, but this is
loud.
This is a story element.
Here we we have an Alaskan timber wolf. He weighs 240 pounds and his jaws can bite through a parking meter. Yeah. He does get spooked by loud noises.
Loud? That's our secret word for the day!
I love the sound design.
But it's the bird attacking him on the head. And
I only ate one!
He thinks you're trying to steal her eggs. I only ate one! That's my favorite line of the entire show.
The bird laid an egg in his studio and he ate it.
Ate a raw hawk egg.
The claws are really digging into my skull. It's one of those things they bring up multiple times on the commentaries. Like, what show is Krusty? Because
I think this was Al Jean and Mike Reese tapping into their Johnny Carson times.
Oh, no. I mean, this is totally a Carson
writers
reference.
On Carson?
Yeah, they were. Okay. I believe an episode coming up has the urine monkey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
like, why is this called a urine monkey? Oh, wait, I just found out.
This was something you saw on back before talk show guests just like played hopscotch or sang in cars with people. The go-to easy thing was like, okay, bring in Jack Hanna or his cheaper substitute, and he'll bring silly animals from the zoo, and then they'll scare you.
And then they'll all touch the host in the dick somehow.
And they'll climb all over you. And like, it was actually on the show The Comeback, the Lisa Kudrow show The Comeback. I love that
really
show so
fucking
much.
Good, by the way. I didn't discover it till 2 years ago.
Her beloved moment was being on The Tonight Show in the 90s, and then a monkey peed on her on Jay Leno's couch. But
and the best joke about that is the Mr. Show joke, which cuts to a blooper reel from talk shows. And you expect the monkey to pee on someone, but it's just the host who pees himself. The monkey. It's fantastic.
So I guess you don't have clips from the Bart versus the Wolf segment.
I
feel it's a pretty weak B story. I mean, the animation's cool, but
the animation's really good, and I do like that as a climax for Bart's story. But it's difficult to get sounds.
Don't beat yourself up like that.
I was excited at the prospect of Willie fighting the Wolf. That was fun. And then remembering that Willie is a monster strongman. Yes. We're skipping over, like, they forgot about it too, but they do fix the foundation.
Yeah.
And then just Homer's reaction to Surly Joe.
It's really good.
I was just like,
Marge, get my gun. Yeah. So one thing I wanted to point out for the Wolf segment is they changed a joke that has changed on the DVDs.
Really?
Krabappel is going through all of Bart's different fake illnesses, and she brings up his bout with rabies, and he's like, shove it, witch, and he's like snarling. That was Tourette's syndrome. It originally was Tourette's syndrome.
That's what I heard in what
you
I
can
watched.
See her mouthing Tourette's syndrome, and the joke doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Because they changed it. Apparently,
that's what I saw Tourette's syndrome in the version I have.
Originally, like, on VHS.
It's not a DVD.
On DVD, it's rabies, but on the VHS, and like, on the original airing, it was Tourette's, and apparently a child watching it had Tourette's, and he was offended. He wrote in, Mike Reese was like, we did make a mistake, we're sorry.
Fucking PC police, man. Ruin our great jokes about Tourette's.
Conversely, I thought, like, you need to follow up on that joke. Like, when I heard it, I BitTorrented a pack of them. It's easier for me to get clips of.
Yeah.
I do own the DVDs. But I did hear Tourette's and, like, sorry, that needs to be... There's a topper to that joke we're not hearing. Because you can't just... Because, like, even as a kid, I wouldn't have known what that was. And Bart should have done some, like...
Well, Bart is like twitching and swearing, and that was their interpretation of Tourette's. But saying rabies and having him act like that makes no sense, and that's why I don't want to offend people with Tourette's syndrome. I'm sorry, but like, just leave the joke in. It's part of history. Don't change it. I mean, they could have changed it for another airing, but why is the original not on the DVDs?
I think it's still funny to fake Tourette's syndrome for a kid to fake.
Yeah,
Tourette's
Bart is clearly in the wrong, and he's bad for doing it. But yeah, it's weird.
How do you think people with scrofula feel?
ever since I heard him say, please don't let me swallow my tongue. They gave me a complex as a kid that every once in a while I think, like, oh, what if I swallowed my tongue? That can happen. You can swallow your tongue.
This is learning about what an overdose is. I always thought it was poison. Mm-hmm. Like, you get poisoned by too much drugs. But an overdose usually means you've taken something that is confusing your brain and your survival instincts don't kick over. And most people, when they die of an overdose, it is their tongue not getting out of the way of their breathing.
You choke on your own mouth.
Or vomit. Yeah. And I don't know. I just always thought it was poison until I had friends who OD'd. Hooray, adulthood.
Bummer. Let's talk about Tom Jones.
Yes, please.
I was impressed, not to jinx it, but Tom Jones still going strong.
Yeah, at 76.
Yes.
76.
Dead.
Whenever I see Tom Jones, I think about the Dana Carvey joke about what a huge penis he has.
Is that a Hollywood myth?
This is just from the Dana Carvey, his 96 stand-up special, I think it was, or mid-90s. It was like
choice?
Post-SNL.
Critics' Choice.
Yeah, and he It's the same one where he talks about his kids walking around naked and Irish mother-in-law or whatever. But he talks about how going to see Tom Jones and that women are still throwing their underwear at him. And then he's just saying, like, he just sees this, like, snake in his pants. He's just like, are we all pretending we don't see this? Like, look at this thing.
Like, I remind me to get tighter pants. But,
that's John Hamm of today, I guess, yeah. In comparison.
Actually, I was wondering if you were free for a little get-together tonight. Dinner, dancing, and Mr. Tom Jones.
Hello, Marge.
That's it. Big smile. Everybody's happy.
Oh, my goodness. My husband will be so excited.
You have a husband? Yes, I can picture him now. Rugged good looks, sweater knotted about his shoulders, curly locks shining in the sun like spun gold.
This is, by the way, Burns is describing me, just in case the audience can't see. Please don't tell them.
Very accurate. Okay, I love Burns in that beginning of that scene, him, like, his hand sliding off of his freshly waxed skull.
Why? Yeah. That was so funny. Like, yeah. That's such a cartoonish gag that's not in The Simpsons.
Well, and the way he tries to, like, recover from, like, that didn't just happen. I'm fine. It's all fine.
That was
like,
so great.
I think he uses that as an excuse to check Marge up from her feet up. Mm. But also, it's funny that Smithers is, like, complicit in this when he's been knocked down to bathroom cleaner and Marge has his office now.
His only
I'm
crime,
putting you where the action is.
Only crime being in love with Burns. And that Tom Jones getting his head hit by the the automatic door is just a great... A great joke and a great escalation to a
it's horrible
situation.
It's a real Three Stooges sound effect, too.
Yes.
And so then Burns fires her. Because
this is the most sexually harassy line. Like, this would be used in, like, 1990s videos about sexual harassment.
Yeah.
You're fired!
You can't fire me just because I'm married. I'm going to sue the pants off you.
You don't have to sue me to get my pants off. Oh.
She would be so wealthy.
Yeah.
So wealthy.
That's another ADR line that the animation is very awkward for that line.
That reminded me of it became one of the next I've fallen and I can't get up, which was like, that's sexual harassment and I don't have to take it. Like, you all saw that commercial.
Yes, I mean, we are all now super woke, of course, because we're living in 2016. Nothing we do will be judged by the future. It is funny that this was a new idea. Like, you can't talk to women like that at work. What? I can't call this woman a slut? But I'm at work.
I can't try to have sex with this woman who's at work.
This is one of those situations where I read how old The Simpsons is. Because, like, you can do a sexual harassment episode, but this is so fucking on the nose.
Yeah.
And, like, she would completely win.
I mean, the later one, Oakley Weinstein's Malibu Stacy episode is much more hashtag woke than this one.
Yeah, for sure.
It really was, like, ahead of its time of putting feminism topics on mainstream television.
But we get a legal situation.
Before we get to that, I did love Burns drawing on his monitors as Marge is packing up her box. And just the animation on his laughing is amazing. I did also want to say the animation on Krusty says loud.
Yeah.
Like, it's
so good. That whole sequence is amazing.
And the wolf looking around while the lights are flashing. Yeah.
It's really great.
But this is Lionel Hutz has really gone downhill.
Oh, boy.
And he has one of the more animated reactions I've seen from any character on The Simpsons.
Mr. Burns, we've got witnesses, precedent, and a paper trail a mile long.
Yes, well, I have 10 high-priced lawyers.
He left his briefcase. Hey, it's full of shredded newspapers.
Well, I guess that's it. People like us can't afford justice. Come on, homie. Let's go before he fires you, too.
No. Mr. Burns, I'm not leaving until you say you're sorry for what you did to my wife.
You love her, too.
Damn right.
Homer, I want you to show this woman the time of her life.
Gotcha. Marge, we're getting some drive-thru, then we're doing it twice.
Very big of Burns. I think that's sort of the situation when you're in love with somebody who maybe isn't reciprocating. That, like,
if
you truly love somebody, you should be happy in where they found their love.
Yeah, but I know this can't happen because it would change the premise of the show.
Sure.
But Marge should get her job back. Like, yeah. she shouldn't be fired.
But the foundation is fixed. She doesn't want to work.
This is kind of unsatisfying to me, and I love this episode, by the way. I think there's a lot of great jokes in here, but it's like Burns folds instantly when he's like, oh, you love her too. That's all it took for Burns to just fold and then, like, put on a concert for both of them at his house.
I read it as sweet, that he loved her that much. That,
I don't see Burns ever being that sweet, though.
I don't know.
Time is running. Let's just say he was on ether at that moment.
Yes.
But I used to want, like, all of my ex-girlfriends executed by somebody who's not me, because they live in a world and harbor my secrets.
Used to.
And now whenever I see, like, anybody I've been that close to, I'm so happy. And when I see them, she's getting married, like, I could not be happier. I so hope I'm invited to your wedding. This took, like, fucking 3 decades of maturity to kick in, because this was not always the way. That was my read on Burns, that, like, if you truly care about somebody, like, get rid of all the petty jealousies.
Like, maybe Burns realized it was just lust that he had in his heart, like Jimmy Carter.
I don't think he knows the difference. He's too old-timey.
Yeah.
But also the Hutz thing right before that, where they go to his office and he's just drinking
belt
in the morning.
Scotch.
Just the way he's just chugging the scotch.
Would this season have brownest of the brown liquors?
Yes. I mean, it's
and Miguel Sanchez in season 5.
Miguel Sanchez.
When you think of this episode versus Marge Goes to Jail, like, they're kind of like opposite ends of the spectrum. They're both like Marge in new situations and how the family deals with it.
Yeah.
And with similar jokes, though, that one just ups the Lionel Hutz thing so much.
I think this is the first one that really puts his personal life at rock bottom. I mean, we see his professional life, but now it's like you're drinking at like 10 in the morning, and you will soon have no pants on in court.
It's the bottle that only leads me to believe, oh, this is new animation.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have been just another Lionel Hutz scene.
If you compare this Hutz to the somewhat... he's unprofessional, but he seems to be good at being an evil lawyer in the Bart Gets Hit by a Car. But then this one, he's like just lost.
Yeah.
Just,
he's not even competent at being sleazy. He's just a drunk bad at his job. Yeah.
And it's a very dark moral of people like us can't afford justice.
Yeah. I didn't forget that either. That
hit home.
Very true. And yep. Yeah, that ending, the ending of the episode felt very critic again. I'm just going to say that all season. But
it can't help but feel critic-like, yeah.
Yeah, just
call Interpol love anything.
And I don't know, I guess Tom Jones was always popular, but this felt like it was led to a somewhat career resurgence for him in the early 90s. Like, after this, he was in Mars Attacks and like other TV shows. But
he
maybe
covered Lenny Kravitz's Are You Gonna Go My Way on the Jerky Boys soundtrack. That is the most 90s sentence I've ever said in my entire life.
That's really 90s. But I feel like it was The Simpsons always calling back to the 70s and them being slightly out of date intentionally. I feel like that's why this choice was made, Tom Jones.
This is the only Simpsons guest star my mom loves.
My mom loves him too. That I think it turned on a whole our entire generation of moms. At least white middle class.
It was your mom's panties being thrown 30 years ago today.
And I would harbor a guess that Tom Jones was originally animated singing a different song because the animation is way off.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Unless they needed to cycle it just to get.
They got
more
two Tom Jones songs in there.
Yeah,
can't be cheap.
So you got more money for that. But
wasn't there a Tom Jones song in the series earlier?
Homer sang is in the War of the Simpsons. They put it on.
What's New Pussycat?
What's New Pussycat?
This episode. God.
Sounding very uninformed. Let's not dig deeper.
Tom Jones songs. Jesus Christ. I don't know what gets grand ladies wet.
But also Homer sings his song Delilah in the shower.
Right. The previous episode. Yes. Wow. A couple of
episodes. So just enough that it seems like they probably didn't have to pay him for that one.
No.
But
you can't copyright 4 words.
So please, Tom Jones.
Tell that to Michael Buffer.
Don't die in the 3 weeks before
this. Not to hang a lantern on this, but we're praying for you, Tom. We're rooting for you. We have killed before. Gordie Howe, your blood is on our hands. This has been Talking Simpsons. We will kill again. I've been your host, Bob Mackey. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also host the classic gaming podcast Retronauts every Monday at Retronauts.com or USGamer.net, and I write for Something Awful and, of course, USGamer.net. Henry, where can we find you?
Excuse me. Hey, I'm on HENERYG on Twitter, and you can also find my work on fandom.com, where I'm the senior games editor, and I write a lot about video games all the time. But of course, you should follow me and my wacky friends at lasertimepodcast.com and support us through patreon.com/lasertime. That's where for just $5 a month or more, you can get access to tons of exclusive things we've done, especially for listeners to this. They all want to listen to the first season of Talking Simpsons, as well as our season 2 and season 3 wrap-ups, full of tons of exclusive, deep, deep secrets of The Simpsons.
This is true, and this is October, and we do a little thing called the Monday Night Movie, where you basically watch a movie with everyone that can participate at a certain time, and it's really fun if you can make it, and it's October, so we're going to do a bunch of Halloween stuff.
I'm excited.
Almost every week in October, every Monday in October, so check that out. Check out lasertimepodcast.com for the details. Check out our YouTube channel. We have that some stuff from The Simpsons up there. The 1992 and Simpsons games. Could be the worst time for those games ever. But I did wrangle these two came over to the house for the Nintendo 64 20th anniversary. We battled in Mario 64.
Spoilers, the Wii U gamepad sucks for Mario 64.
I don't know what kind of game it's built for. I'm guessing everything on Xbox and PlayStation, and that didn't happen. Yes. That's a gamer slam that Simpsons fans don't necessarily need to hear. There's more of that on Video Game Apocalypse, Laser Time's weekly video game show. Henry, I want to talk to you about a Laser Time idea. I know at some point we did an epic episode on the most confusing timelines. I think The Simpsons is referenced, but that's not really one of those things. Okay. In pop culture history, X-Men, Fast and the Furious, Zelda. Yes.
Fuck that.
Castlevania as well.
Bob is too well acquainted
Star
with
Wars.
Zelda's timeline.
It's so intimate.
I got to tell you my revelation I had on it. It made me really mad.
What's that?
I'll tell you off mic or on that episode. LaserTimePodcast.com.
And you can join us next week for a brand new episode where Bart falls in love. We'll see you then.
Infotainment.